some glad morning when this life is o'er. I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away
when the sorrows of this life have grown. I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars has grown. I'll fly away.
Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory. I'll fly away.
Good morning.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Good morning. You are listening to Highly Favored and Heaven Bound, brought to you from Grace Baptist Church of Herlock, Maryland. I'm Bill Windsor. Stay with us for the next half hour and listen as our pastor, Dave Talley, preaches from the Word of God to us.
I say it all the time, but none of us are perfect. Okay? In fact, the Bible says you're not even good. It's not just that you're not perfect. You're not even good. Okay? All the goodness that you've got and all the goodness that I've got was given to us. Jesus is the one that did all the good stuff. You and I have done all the bad stuff. And he went and took your credit card bill, your spiritual credit card bill, and said, give me that. I'll take care of that. And he took all of his wealth, all of his assets, and counted them in your account. That's not just an analogy, okay? That's what the scriptures teach. That's not just my view of it. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the principle of justification. Amen? Jesus Christ is also busy doing something that we call sanctification. It's called sanctification in the Bible. He's working on you, helping you to stop listening to your old way of thinking and to start listening to him. And that process of learning not to listen to your natural way of being, your Adamic nature is what it's called, that process is called sanctification. And eventually it'll be finished. If you're God's child and you're justified, someday he's going to finish that work. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. And at that point, it'll be called glorification. Glorious, glorious truths. This series, Let's Fix It, is about the middle part. Sanctification. There are things in your life and mine that are broken. And they need to be fixed. And it's not okay for us to say, whatever. No, we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, the scripture says. Let those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity, the scripture says. This series this month has been about allowing God's program of you and me being repaired, being fixed, and our family being fixed, and our church being fixed, and even broader than that. This series is all about that, and the one way that we have is the good option for us to be fixed. That's what this has all been about. So if I could review real quickly, I won't prove it or defend it. I'll just tell you what we've talked about so far. It all starts with a willing spirit. That's where it starts. Do you want help? Are you willing to come to the right person, Jesus, and to cooperate with what he's going to do? If you're not willing, you might as well just leave the room or scan Facebook for the next hour, because if you're not willing, nothing else is going to matter. You also have to pay attention. So you have to care and you have to be aware. God has never placed a high price tag on stupidity, not once. On ignorance, not once. He's never said, this is what I value. You know, misinformation, disinformation, and no information. That's what's important. No. proof of that is he gave you a library, 66 books, and said, read this thing, read it over and over again, pay attention to it, learn what's in there. It reveals me to you. And do what it says. 66 books? Some of you are like, I never read one book. I can't read 66. You better start. So I'm willing. I care. I'm paying attention. I'm aware. But then it goes a little deeper than that. We all got to make sure that we're willing to let God work on our character. Amen. I have bad character. I want to sit down and do nothing and let somebody else serve me in my flesh. That's what I want. Proof is I'll go to restaurants and pay way too much money for somebody to serve me. Trust me, it's not worth it. We do it anyway, don't we? That's my nature. I got that from Adam and my own mom and dad. And you got it too. But when we got saved, we partook of the divine nature, the Bible says. It's the Spirit in you. Because of the new birth, that part of you, actually the Bible says, can do no wrong. If you'll listen to God in you, you'll always do the right thing. Every time. As long as you listen and cooperate with what the Spirit's leading, you will always do the right thing. The Bible says that which is his seed, that which is born of him, cannot commit sin. So having strong character really is about just yielding to the Spirit constantly. So are you following now? I'm willing, right? Paying attention, and then allowing the Spirit to make the decisions, not my flesh, not my natural being. And then last week we talked about having better habits on the outside so that our reputation matches our doctrine, matches our claim. Because Jesus' reputation in Hurlock, or in whatever town you live in, Jesus' reputation is your reputation. We are the body of Christ. Do you believe that? That's what Scripture says. So it's a spiritual statement, but Christ is not here in the flesh. He's gone back to heaven where he came from, and he has said, I'm giving you my Spirit, and now you are my hands and feet, and you are my mouthpiece. And so your habits and mine are establishing Jesus' reputation. Are you giving Jesus a good name or a bad name? We want things to be fixed. We got to follow all this down. And the last thing, maybe not chronological, because somewhere it's going to have to show up in what I've said already. It's what we're going to talk about today, the winning way. Correcting our casual connection to Christ. That is, we got to have high priorities. We got to have higher values than what we have naturally. We have to, as disciples of Christ, we have to value what he values. Do you want to be a winner? We got one guy who wants to be a winner. Been watching March Madness. Anybody watching March Madness? I don't pay any attention at all the whole season. I finally turned it on for March Madness. What is it, 64 teams? 63 of them are losers. One winner. Coach K's hoping it's him. Yeah, they won yesterday. They beat Arkansas. I fell asleep, but I checked the news this morning. Do you know God wants you to be a winner? In fact, you are a winner. As long as you cooperate with him, you're a winner. The winning way. What is the winning way? Jesus is victorious. He's triumphant. He's the ultimate overcomer. He's the conqueror of all conquerors. Those are all Bible words. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you must meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good. Boy, y'all don't know that one. Success. In God's eyes now. Thank you. Good preaching over there, honey. I want to be a winner. I want to act like the winner that God's already said I am. But winning according to His definition, not my definition. Right? Just a little side note. That's a freebie. Has nothing to do with what I'm preaching. Winning. Do you want to be a winner? I hope so. I hope you're like, I don't care. I hope that's not your spirit. I hope you want to be a winner. There is a cost to being a winner. A high price to pay. Winners do not become winners by casual and occasional interest in their field. Do you hear me? Winners do not become winners by casual and occasional involvement or interest in their field. The next picture that you're going to see on the wall is a picture of a man by the name of Tommy Emmanuel. How many of you know who this is? I didn't think you would. I have watched Tommy play the guitar for scores of hours. I mean, I will just watch and watch and watch and watch. He grew up in Australia, started playing guitar. He heard Chet Atkins on the radio. Anybody know who Chet Atkins is? And he picked up a guitar as a little bitty boy. I'm talking like 5, 6 years old, and started trying to make the sounds with his fingers, knowing nothing, having no lessons, trying to make the sounds that he heard Chet Atkins making, and he succeeded. And he says, there are many guitar players who are more talented than I am. He said, but I'll tell you one thing. There's no guitar player who has worked harder than I've worked. Play this video for them, Tony.
5 performances from Tommy Emmanuel.
Tommy Emmanuel was a disciple of Chet Atkins. He was a student. He was a follower. He was in training from afar. He was shocked, by the way, the first time I've heard him tell the story himself, the first time he actually went and watched a real band play, because he grew up in the brush in Australia. They didn't have any bands around for him to go see. But he went and saw an actual band play, and he asked, what's that thing over there? And he was talking about the 4-string bass. He'd never seen one. And he saw what the bass player was doing, and he realized he thought that that's what he was supposed to do while he was playing guitar. So he was playing bass and guitar at the same time on one instrument. And he's also a percussionist. If you watch any of his long videos, he plays percussion on his guitar while he's playing all that. And he's a songwriter, writes and sings songs while he's doing all that stuff. He's at the top of his game. And he works constantly to get better. We are students, followers of the Master. And if we're going to be winners like he is a winner, we have to have the priorities that he has and that he teaches. And I want to give you just 6. There are more than 6, but I want to give you 6 just from Luke chapter 14 this morning. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not hard to understand. You're going to wish it was hard to understand. Because it's hard to swallow. Number one. Put in the blank. I put love on the wall, but put charity in the blank. Because we all know what charity work is. And charity work, charity is the word for love in the New Testament. And charity communicates more than a feeling. It communicates more than just, you know, an emotion. If you're doing charity work, that's why it's called charity work. Because you're actually doing something. Jesus, of course, in Luke chapter 14, he's been invited to the home of a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the top dogs in the religious circles of Jesus' day. And in that culture, that meant something. You were the ones in power if you were, you know, the religious elite. And the Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers, they were religious lawyers, not political lawyers. They were the godless people in the society, but they were the people in control. And Jesus was basically their enemy, and he was their enemy, and they were his enemy. There was a mutual amount of friction going on between them two. But Jesus loved his enemies, probably because he was going to tell us to love our enemies. And he goes for this meal, and there's somebody there who has something called dropsy, which evidently is the retention of fluid. I'm not really familiar with a bunch of medical terms, but that's what it said when I looked it up. So in other words, he was all swollen, and Jesus looked at the Pharisee that had invited him to the house and to the ones around him and to the lawyers, and he asked them a question. And they're all watching him. It's Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath day. It's against Moses' law to work on Saturday, and that was something Jesus kept doing. He kept offending them by working on Saturday because they weren't worshiping God. They were worshiping Saturday. Really, they were worshiping themselves. But he looks at them and he says, "What should we do on Saturdays? Should we do good or evil?" The actual quote there in Luke chapter 14, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" Well, they were backed into a corner. They couldn't say yes, because they'd been teaching no. They couldn't say no, because then everybody would see them as hard-hearted, that they didn't care about this guy with dropsy. And they couldn't say nothing, because then that would betray their guilt. But that's the option they chose anyway. They said nothing. And so Jesus healed the man, disobeying these religious leaders, but following the spirit of the law, and because he loved the man. He healed the man, and then he said to those Pharisees, "If you had a donkey in the ditch on Saturday, you'd pull him out. If you had an ox in a pit, if you had a cow that fell into a pit on a Saturday, you'd pull him out." That was it. That's all he said. But notice what he was teaching them. You love yourself. You love your donkey. You love your cow. Do you love this man with dropsy? Jesus, the master teacher who we are following, healed this man and taught that we should care emotionally and practically for common animals and for those who are weak around us. And love wins over law-keeping. Love wins over law-keeping. This is the high principle that Jesus was teaching and that we must follow. Our priority in life must be to love above all things. Jesus never compromised truth. No. He never got into evil. But he always loved, even his enemies. And even when it wasn't acceptable to love in action, he loved in action anyway. Are we maintaining this as our highest priority? Are we making sure that all of our actions, all of our thoughts, all of our words are motivated by and expressed in love? This is what's required of disciples. The things that need to be fixed in your life and mine, and we've all got stuff that needs to be fixed. We got to cooperate with the master by loving. Loving everyone. Number two. If you want to be a winner, you got to live a life of love. Number two, you got to live a life of humility. Choosing the low places and social circumstances deferring to the privileges of others is what Jesus is speaking about. Jesus stoops way down to the level of these people that he's with. What those people were actually wanting was to be worshiped. And Jesus doesn't say that outright, but it's clear as you read verses 7 through 11. He says, when you're invited to some important event, don't go sit in the place where the important people are. Don't go to the room where the important people are. That's self-defeating. It's foolishness. Go to the lowest place. Go to the place where you look around and you're like, man, all these people are beneath me. He says, that's where you go. And then whoever invited you, they're going to find you there and they're going to say, what are you doing down here? Come up here with me. And Jesus said, and you'll be worshiped by the people in the room with you. Is that really what Jesus is promoting for us? You want to be worshiped? Do this and you'll be worshiped. Here's what he's actually teaching. The universal power of the golden key of humility. If you try to build yourself up, you try to get accolades and you try to get recognition and you try to get authority and power, and you try to get people to admire you, you're a fool. You're destroying the very thing you're pursuing. You must be humble. That's even for his enemies. It's certainly true for his disciples who are not, we would hope, trying to be worshiped, but trying to point people to worship God. We must be humble. One of the few things Dr. Hall, my mentor in ministry, taught me, and he taught me very few things specifically about the way I preached. I tried to get him to tell me more. He wouldn't get involved. It just wasn't his style. But one of the things he said is, you can preach hard truth. Man, you can preach difficult truth, things that are really hard to swallow, as long as you preach it to yourself too. If it's you up there pointing your finger at people, you bunch of lousy, you know, and they're the ones that need to be fixed, but you're up on your high horse. You've lost before you even started running. What's the principle there? Humility. Humility. You want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? You want to walk on the winning way? You got to love people, whether they're lovely or not, whether they're your enemies or your friends. You got to love people, whether they can do anything for you or not. And you got to be humble. When must I be humble? All the time. Let another man praise you and not your own lips. We want credit, don't we, when we do something? Humility is essential if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Across the board, humility wins over assertiveness. I think back through my life, the different times that I've been assertive and pushy and trying to get my way, I have made a mess 100% of the time. 100%. Even when I was right. Still made a mess. Humility is essential if we're going to follow the winning way that Jesus is leading us on. Number three, wisdom is essential. You take the same story that I just shared in verse 7 through 11 and you add to it verse 12 through 13. He says, when you make a dinner, don't call your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors. They'll pay you back. They'll invite you to their stuff too. And then that's the end of the story. So he says, invite poor people, invite people who are deformed and disabled and who can't walk and who are blind and homeless. And then you'll be blessed and God will pay you back in the day of the resurrection. Both the story of taking the low seat and inviting the low people. We like to imagine that we don't think of the world that way, but you do. There are people that you admire and people that you look down on. You can't help it. It's just true. I didn't say it's good. I just said it's true. So in both of these stories, in both cases, Jesus espouses following wise principles. Jesus was wise. The Bible says that the greatest wisest man who ever lived was Solomon. But when Jesus came, it was said of him, a greater than Solomon is here. By inspiration, a greater than Solomon is here. When Jesus was just a little boy, at the age of 12, he got in trouble. Remember that? He didn't do anything wrong, but he got in trouble. And he went home with his parents after he got in trouble. And the Bible says he was submissive to his parents. He was humble and submissive to his parents. And he began to grow. And it says he grew in. We know he grew physically. We know he grew in favor with God and man. But the first thing it says he grew in was wisdom. Just like God has never put a high price tag on a lack of information and a lack of education and not learning, he's never put a high price on foolishness either. And he calls us to be wise, foreseeing the benefit of acting humbly and generously and patiently. Wisdom wins over foolish pride and over selfishness and over stinginess and over the schemes that we all put together to try to get our way. Wisdom wins over that. Are we failing to be wise as we are commanded to be? I want to win. I want the things in my life that are broken to be fixed. I want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, you got to follow his priorities. He prioritizes charity, love. He prioritizes humility. He prioritizes wisdom. Number four, he prioritizes patience. It's the story that I just told you. So wisdom links the humility and the patient point. The thing that I notice in verse 14 is that he said, you'll be paid at the resurrection of the just.
Tune in again next week and we'll wrap up this series entitled Let's Fix It, specifically this last sermon in the series entitled The Winning Way. Let me remind you again that if you want to hear any of these sermons again, or if you missed one along the way, you can go to our website, gracebaptistofherlock.org. That's gracebaptistofherlock.org, and click on the link that says Audio Sermons. You can go back and listen to radio programs from the past year or so.
Thank you for listening today. I trust that you received a blessing from God's Word. If you would like to contact us here at Grace Baptist Church, feel free to call us at 410-943-3701, or you can write us at Post Office Box 162, Herlock, Maryland, 21643. If you would like to come to visit us, you can find us at 510 North Main Street, right here in Herlock, Maryland. I do hope that you will come to worship the Lord with us. Again, thanks for listening to our program, Highly Favored and Heaven Bound. I hope you will listen again next week as we look at the scriptures once again. Until then, I'm Bill Windsor speaking for Pastor Tally and all of us here at Grace Baptist Church. May God richly bless you and have a great week.
Well, it's just a few more weary days and then I fly away to a land where joy shall never end.